Now, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
Books, one to go. Final hour of the show right now in the Press Box on ESPN. He's Tyler, I'm Joel. We're taking you all the way up until 4. Tyler's going to take you on the marathon. He's going to take you on the magic carpet ride. He's going to take you all the way till 7 o'clock as two of the old cronies.
Nope. 9.
You're going all the way to 9 tonight?
Soccer matters. Yep.
Evidently, it matters to everybody but the Dynamo, who forgot to invite Glenn Davis to a press conference today. I saw a tweet from Glenn Davis that said, hey, I see that there's a really important press conference going on for the Dynamo today. Would have been nice if I would have known about it. That's Glenn's not-so-subtle way of saying, soccer matters to one guy more than anybody in this city. If you're going to have something to do with soccer going on and you're also looking for publicity, Glenn Davis should be there, dang it. That's a travesty. Change that. Fix that. All right. Final hour of the program. We were talking about Deshaun Watson in the last couple of segments because he did not practice today. And he doesn't need to be practicing today. Because I think that's the other point that we haven't talked about yet when it comes to Deshaun Watson in this whole situation is, and it's something I brought up earlier, I think it was last week. Deshaun shouldn't be out there because regardless of everything else we talked about, he's your most valuable asset, though it's in flux how valuable based on what happens with these cases. The last thing you want to do is, on top of that, create an injury situation. And again, like I said yesterday, aside from the jokes because he ended up on the training table, he was on the training table. He was pointing to his foot. It was while the media could see him. Don't think in Deshaun's camp, there's also not a thought process of, well, you know, I had a non-contact injury before, and if I'm trying to ensure that I'm going to get paid, but I don't have to suit up every day for the team I don't want to play for, I could do this again. And therefore, it's just another screaming flare in the air sent to the Texans, Nick Caserio, David Culley, and others, that says, hey, don't play him. Don't put him out there. He can show up and sit in meetings if you want. But regardless, you make enough money. Just eat the salary for now and stop bringing attention to a guy that's not going to play for your franchise this year and for a team that doesn't need the distraction because they're going to be bad enough on their own. So it's a bad look, and it shouldn't be there. And our friend Sarah Barshop, who has joined us periodically throughout, the beat writer for ESPN for your Houston Texans, reports today in the fact that Deshaun did not practice, and after practice, David Culley didn't want to address why Deshaun Watson didn't practice specifically, but he did say, as I said before, we're day-to-day with him. The only thing that's changed from the standpoint of that is we make decisions every day based on what's best for our football team, and I'm going to leave it at that. When asked if there is nothing new with Watson, given that he had practiced up to this point, Culley just said, nothing new today. I think that the circus can end. You're now getting close to starting to play preseason games. You're now going to war for a season of 17 games plus preseason with the team that is going to get you there on the field every day. He came to get his money. We saw that he was there. Now it's time to move on both sides. And just let's focus on what happens with this roster this season with this management team. That's it. I don't need to see Deshaun again the rest of the season. Because you're not, from the NFL's perspective anyway. The only thing I'm disappointed in is that they should have done what, I can't believe I'm giving baseball credit for this with Rob Manfred at the helm. But in the Trevor Bauer situation, until it's resolved, they did what the team wished they would have done in the Texans case. But they did what the Dodgers weren't willing to do. And I know Patrick Creighton said yesterday that he had heard that the Dodgers were the ones that wanted to sit him down, and Major League Baseball wouldn't let them. And then after the Dodgers said that he would play, Major League Baseball jumped in like the white knight in the shiny armor that comes in and saves the day and says, no, you're done. I don't care who did what. Baseball did the right thing by telling Trevor Bauer, you go home and you don't come back until all this is behind you. That's exactly what the NFL should have done with Deshaun Watson. It's a bad look for the sport and the league. It's a bad look for the franchise. It's a bad look for Deshaun because basically he's only doing it to make sure he does save the money. So I think all parties involved, there's no positives to be gained here. At this point, you can't worry about who's paying him and who's not and what the situation is. If he's not going to play, he shouldn't be on the field. He shouldn't be a part of a team that has to play 17 games this year. Simple as it can be.
I agree with that.
All right. So resetting the deck, we covered a lot of football today, and there's your Texans highlights of what's happening over there on Kirby as training camp continues, and today is the first day to wear pads. From a basketball perspective, we know the Rockets have added center Daniel Tice, was with the Bulls at the end of the year, but most notably for his years with the Celtics. Got him on about a $9 million a year deal. I think it's a four-year deal. Last year is not really guaranteed fully, so it's not a big gamble for a team that desperately needed a center to play alongside Christian Wood that can guard in the low post. They got it. Carmelo Anthony, the latest AARP member to join the Lakers as the bench it becomes all of LeBron's cronies, former Lakers, and guys that are well past their prime, but come on the cheap, looking to get a ring. Dwight Howard amongst them. Kent Bazemore, another one. And now Carmelo Anthony amongst others, joining the old folks crew in L.A. at the Staples Center wearing purple and gold. Steph Curry got a four-year, $215 million extension. He's worth every penny. Trae Young got the same similar deal, but not as much money from the Atlanta Hawks. Luka Doncic, if he didn't get it already, will get it from the Mavericks. Other than that, major money being thrown around in the NBA for guys that aren't major players, but we've covered a little bit of that. The Sixers are replacing Dwight Howard, by the way, by signing another retread, Andre Drummond. So essentially, the Lakers just traded Andre Drummond for Dwight Howard. Push. I don't think either one is getting impact. Drummond can back up Joel Embiid, so big deal. There's that. Did you see what happened at Giants camp today, Tyler?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of video. It's not a really good angle, but I assume that was maybe an interception.
It was a long run by Corey Clement Badger, by the way, running back. And at the end of the play, after the long run, Evan Engram hit Clement late. So some of the guys came to the defense of Clement on the offensive side. And then Logan Ryan leveled Engram from behind. And as the melee ensued, the worst case scenario other than Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones, their quarterback, gets at the bottom of the pile and gets piled on and smushed at the bottom of all the melee. That did not sit well, to say the least, with Coach Judge and the Giants coaching staff. To the point in which 10 minutes after the incident, they were still running 100-yard sprints. And when that got to be almost too much for them, he then had them start to do push-ups to make his point, in which he was cussing throughout the entire thing. I like the fact that we know who's boss with the Giants, and the fact that it was Joe Judge. Yeah, that he was basically telling you, we ain't doing this again, and our quarterback's too valuable. Whether you believe in Danny Dimes or not, what a crazy situation with the Giants.
I mean, I don't think you'd see that too often with grown men and NFL teams, but it still happens. I couldn't imagine that ever happening with the Texans.
No.
Like, there's no coach that... Maybe Bill O'Brien probably would have done it, but even then... Hey, I'm not going to make you run, whatever, you're grown men.
Billy O tries whatever. To... He always tried to have that tough look card to him. I could see Billy O trying to make a stance on that, something like that.
Maybe some up downs.
I don't see David Culley doing that.
No, not at all.
Just a good spirited practice from our football team. I'm happy to have them all out there.
A lot of fire.
You know what? They're all junkies. They all just want to play football. I love the spirit. I love the fire. Let's do this again tomorrow. I'll be here until they sell me. I'm not. So I'm happy. I don't see it happening. Anywhere else. But the Giants had that to deal with, and now that is behind them, hopefully. But that was another big deal, I guess. And, of course, the biggest deal, if you're a Houston sports fan, is tonight a two-game series opens up at Chavez Ravine between the Dodgers and the Astros, as angry Dodger fan has yet another opportunity to voice their opinion and their bitterness. And the Astros try to see how they measure up against another one of the better teams in baseball. We know that they've had a great record against plus 500 teams this year. And this is yet another opportunity to take the barometer. They just got done playing the best record in baseball, the Giants. They lost 2 out of 3, but they were in every game. And you look at it now and you say, okay, now how do I stack up against a Dodger team that just added Max Scherzer to replace Trevor Bauer, and he's going to be on the hill tomorrow night. They have one of the hottest pitchers going right now in Walker Buehler pitching tonight. Lance McCullers gets the ball tonight. We'll see how they stack up. In the National League Park, that means no DH. That means probably no Yordan, unless Michael Brantley is still hurting with his ankle. But it's a good barometer, a good test, and it's exciting if you're an Astros fan to be able to see your team against one of the best in baseball. So I'm looking forward to it. What are you looking for, Tyler? What do you think? What are you best looking for in the games tonight? Because we had a caller earlier that asked, I mean, what are your feelings if they don't do well in this two-game series? If they either lose two or lose, you know, I mean, win split, one, lose one, but I'm don't look fine. Good doing it.
Yeah. You know, it's if they're close, I think that's probably – if they lose a close one, I'm not going to be worried about it, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, obviously you want maybe Correa to kind of come around a little bit. Yeah. For these two games, I don't know who's pitching. McCullers and then
McCullers and Walker Buehler tonight, and then tomorrow night Scherzer, I think it's Scherzer and Odorizzi. I think. Let me check.
Not thrilled about that matchup. Let's see tomorrow. Yeah, it is Odorizzi.
Okay.
I mean, hopefully both those guys can eat up some innings, and I mean at least if you have to go to the bullpen, you got a few new guys that, I mean, Graveman, whenever he struck out the side, I think it was Friday or Saturday night, whatever game that was, he got 4 outs. That's fairly good.
Got to excite you, right?
Yeah, especially whenever it was 3 up, 3 down, that the full inning that he pitched. Yeah, I think if you have to go to the bullpen, I want to see kind of better action out of those guys. But if you have to go Stanek and Presley, whatever, it's not really going to tear me up too bad.
I mean, but you look at it too,
Tyler. You don't want to see Brooks Raley come in the game.
That's what I said. Those days should be over now. The guys that everybody that listens to this program on a frequent basis know that I just can't stand to see out there anymore. I shouldn't have to, because they completely revamped the bullpen in such a way that every time these guys have taken the mound, with the exception of Yimi had given up a bomb in the Giants series, gave up one home run. But other than that, they're spotless. They're scoreless. They're getting guys out. And the one glaring weakness on this team was addressed. So you may not have the money of the Dodgers or the farm system to get the players that they got as the best team money can buy continues. But you know what you do have? You got quality. You got talent. You've got a solid ball club no matter which way you look, defensively, offensively, pitching, relief pitching. So you want to see how you stack up. You're going to roll the dice with this team and feel really good against any team you play. And like I said, there's a reason why they have the record they have against teams plus 500 records. It's because they can play. And they're good enough to be considered one of the best teams in baseball. And at the end of it, if you end up facing the Dodgers in the World Series, then may the best team win. But it's so vitally important this year, because if they do win, not that you'll shut up everybody and stifle everybody all of the time and muzzle them and mute them, but it'll put to rest a whole lot that have been easy targets for the Astros to be over the last couple of years because of the cheating. That's why it's so important. They've done what they did. Click did everything he was supposed to. Before the trade deadline, he came out and he said, look, this team has done everything they can do on the field. It's now up to me to do what I need to do to put them in the best position to win. They've done that. You can nitpick and say they should have added one more bat or they should have added a starting pitcher, but woulda, coulda, shoulda, what they did do while staying under the tax line and while not giving up any prospects to speak of, I think they did everything that they possibly can do, and now you just roll the dice and see how it falls through. So we'll continue to roll on. Lots more other things to get to as part of the process. Part of the process for me is to tell you about Fitz Roofing, because I love the people at Fitz. Corey is the owner and the operator of Fitz Roofing. Whether you need a roof on your house or your business, or a roof repair, or maybe you need some home construction work done and some repair work, or maybe you need a fence in your yard, Fitz Roofing is actually the one stop to do it all. And all it takes is a phone call. If you call 832-521-3001, they're going to come to you. They're going to tell you what they can do. They're going to give you an estimate. It's all free of charge. You want them to come back, you just book the appointment. And before, during, and after the process is complete, you're going to find out their customer service, their attention to detail, and the way they go about their business in helping their customers is better than anybody else in the Houston area. Their warranties are the best in the business. Their ratings the best in the business. And their product, including CertainT shingles, the best in the business. Why would you go anywhere else? Check them out also at FITZroofing.com. But again, set up that free no obligation inspection and see what they can do for you. 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
All right, it's me and Tyler Scott today till 4 o'clock. Pat Creighton will be back with me tomorrow and for the rest of the week, including Beaumont for the summer circuit. At 5 under golf, as us and the Blitz 1-7 on Friday, or the artist formerly known as the Blitz, depending on who's on the schedule that day. But we should have some fun and games in the 409. So that's going to be a good time. We always love 5 under golf. So check all that out. You can register to win the Traeger grill, the $2,000 grill at the end of the summer circuit. You could register to win the 2-night stay in Lafayette, Louisiana for a little Lafayette getaway. LafayetteTravel.com gets you there. So lots of things going on, but the most important thing is we always have a fun time in the 409. Love B-Town. And you guys could catch up with us and hang out with us and have a good time at 5 Under. So that is going to be Friday, and that's the schedule for us and the schedule for them as we continue to roll through. Tyler, I was talking to some of my people back home last night from the Mill of Milwaukee. They were pretty pleased that they still had Josh Hader, their closer, and said that had to be one of the dumbest trades in Astros history. And I started thinking about it. I mean, I think hands down one of the greatest trade, the greatest trade in Astros history is Jeff Bagwell from the Red Sox to the Astros for relief pitcher Larry Anderson. And I don't know if that's it's even an argument. I don't know that there was ever a better trade. Sure, Verlander will be up there because of the end result. But you've got a franchise cornerstone Hall of Fame player in Jeff Bagwell for a relief pitcher. On the flip side, that Brewers trade was pretty bad because they gave up some top prospects. I think that was the Carlos Gomez and Mike Fiers trade.
That was
pretty bad.
Yep.
Giving away Teoscar Hernandez because you had a surplus of outfielders in your farm system and on your roster that you didn't see were going anywhere to the Blue Jays for virtually nothing other than a guy by the name of zero F's given, Ken Giles.
Oh, actually, I forgot. Ken Giles came over in the
was that the Derek Phillies Fisher trade deal? Oh, those, okay.
Yeah, so Teoscar Hernandez was only three people. It was Teoscar and Nori Aoki.
Yes.
With Francisco Liriano in return.
So Liriano and Aoki came to the Astros, and neither one of them really contributed at all. Liriano pitched in one significant playoff game.
No. Nori was sent there with Teoscar.
Oh, Aoki and Teoscar for Liriano.
Yeah.
Liriano,
I don't even...
He pitched in at least one significant playoff game that I remember.
Yeah, but then the next season he signed
then he was
with
done.
The Tigers.
Yeah. Yeah, he was done after that with the Tigers.
The Ken Giles trade was Vince Velasquez, a couple other dudes.
Young pitchers, but again, they didn't pan out. Prospect but Giles guys, for a year or two was good, and then he lost his...
Velasquez kind of did well for them.
Then I think he had major surgery.
Yeah, he had an injury, whatever... But, yeah, and then I don't even know that. I think the Blue Jays just signed Ken Giles after his run with the Astros.
Well, I think they just cut him, and the Blue Jays picked him up.
Yeah.
Or maybe they tried to give him away. but it wasn't anything significant. After he told AJ to F himself, that was it. Remember, he came off the mound and he was dropping F bombs at AJ and he wanted a piece of him, and that was it. It's like, bye. Goodbye. You're not as good as you think you are, and everybody's tired of your stuff anyway. Now, Dr. Dre on 290 couldn't stop. The Kenny Lofton trade. That was pretty big.
Yeah.
He turned out pretty good. That was one. Kurt Schilling trade. Again, an Astro to start his career that many people realize. That was a good one. Bobby Abreu, I'm not going to go on that one, but I'll give you the first two. Those are pretty significant bad moves if you're the Astros. Those are the ones that come. The main ones that come to mind were the ones with Milwaukee for sure, because Hader was so good.
I mean, even back in the day, the Randy Johnson trade. Because I mean, he was only here for half a season,
right? But it was great.
And it was good. Yeah, I mean,
not for Kevin Brown, that team could have won it all.
Exactly. Like they traded for him to try and win a World Series,
right.
And I mean, they didn't really come close.
Now
they came closer than a few years past, but
not that it was a trade. But I'll tell you, one of the biggest hiccups in Astros history was when they decided that J.D. Martinez couldn't play anymore. And basically gave him away and just said, anywhere but here, you're gone. He turned out pretty good. Still playing very well, making a whole lot of money, hitting 300. He's good DH. Yeah. Hunter Pence? I'm not too concerned about that. I think that you can talk about bad trades. A lot of times, too, it was giving away guys that you thought you were getting a lot in return for that never panned out, like Roy Oswalt, when you had to trade him. They've been some big names that they've had to get rid of or wanted out that they never really got a whole lot for. So it just made me kind of start thinking about it a little bit. Because like I said, the hands down greatest trade in Astros history was that trade that got Jeff Bagwell for Larry Anderson. I don't think there's any arguing there. So I just thought I'd throw it out. If you guys have other ones throughout the end of the program, throw them at us. We'll periodically touch on them before we get out of here. Again, as we mentioned, Astros and Dodgers tonight, 2-game set. Astros wrapping up a road trip, currently 3-3. They won the series in Seattle. They just lost the series with the Giants, but they were good games. So with this retooled bullpen, how are you feeling about your Astros? Because, I mean, like I said, I don't think I misstated it or went too far with it, but I really believe they filled the only hole they had. Now, you're not the Dodgers, so you're not going to go out at the deadline because you also don't have the farm system to do it. Dodgers give up their top two prospects to get Turner and Scherzer. I'm not mad at a single thing with this Astros team. I kept saying, where are you, James Click, until he showed up. And when he showed up, he didn't leave the party till he was done dancing to get every single thing that the Astros needed, maybe a little bit more. Even got a little dicey for me because I was a little shocked that he gave up his starting center fielder, though I wasn't mad that he got rid of Miles Straw. I kept thinking and hoping, as you know, that there was going to be a replacement for him. But at the same time, I'll live with Chaz McCormick over Miles Straw, and I like what he did.
Yeah, I mean, even with Chaz McCormick and then giving this kid they just called up, Jake Myers, a little bit of run, I mean, that's what prospects are. You got to promote them to be able to use them, and unless you trade them away, of course. But, I mean, Straw was basically still just kind of...
He was Straw,
a
stopgap right?
guy.
That yeah, was he was it. Up and down. Yeah. And I think it was, I think I saw someone out there on Twitter last night say they were watching MLB Network or otherwise, talking about Miles Straw as the premier defensive center fielder in Major League Baseball. I'm like, well, you haven't seen what we saw. Because early in the year, it was one thing to pick on the fact that he wasn't hitting. It was another thing to think about the fact that I can think of two separate games where he cost the Astros a game because he misplayed a ball that could have been at worst a single into extra base hits and multiple runs batted in.
Yeah, at the wall. Yes. And it bounced, like, he didn't time his jump well enough and
or
turned
his path
into a
to the
triple.
Gap.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or it's like, and yeah, there's balls that he was running straight at, dives and misses the ball. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, did you not read it well enough off the bat? Or are you not as fast as people say you are? Or as the team says you are? Like, what happened there? But yeah, I mean,
I didn't lose any sleep or didn't have a bit of sorrow when I saw when we were doing the remote and saw that that Miles Straw had been traded.
I would have liked to see Buxton come over, even if he does have kind of he's a little bit smaller in terms of like frame. Maybe his injuries are a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, but even then, the guy was. He's still a lot more established than Miles Straw. So
I said Lorenzo Cain, but Milwaukee's in go for it mode. They're not selling. They were buyers. Yeah. Otherwise, Lorenzo Cain and Jackie Bradley Jr., a guy that the Astros were looking at in the offseason,
which, yeah,
were out there.
Bradley, they were looking at,
yeah.
I think, before the 2020
they
season.
They were. And before the start of this season, he was out there, and then Milwaukee got him because no one else had offered him what he was looking for. He was looking for like 18 a year, took a 2-year deal at a very reasonable price. That I was hoping that maybe they'd look at one of those two guys if they could get him. But they didn't, and I'm still fine with it, and I don't have any qualms with where they are currently, what they did at the deadline, and the fact that this is who you roll with. Now, for all those people, Tyler, maybe you see this a different way, but all those people, and they keep texting and they keep tweeting, Verlander could be the guy. He's going to be the guy at the end of the year. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. Verlander is not coming back to pitch for your Houston Astros.
Yeah, there's insurance money on the line if he pitches that will – that's not going to happen.
Now, here's the scenario where I could see it happening.
I would – if that happens, it would just be like, oh, yes, this is – it's the Undertaker meme, mm-hmm. getting up out of the casket, you know, like that would inject so much life into this team, but it's not going
to happen.
But
they're not dead. They have the best record in the American League, right? Well, it would just push them over the top.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, I mean, that's kind of a bad
example. No, it's fine. I get the excitement and the whole, yeah.
Just the
theatrics.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
But here's the thing, Tyler. Let me tell you this. From a scenario of, because I keep saying it's never going to happen. You know how it could have happened? If Verlander had multiple years left on his deal. If Verlander wasn't pitching for his next contract.
Yeah.
If Verlander had everything to lose and nothing to gain except for maybe chasing a second ring. If he didn't have a ring already, maybe it would mean enough to him to say, I got to go to war with my guys one more time. They're going to be there. They need an ace. They need me. But because he's in the final year of his deal. Because he's looking to pitch another couple of years and make good money doing it, he has too much to lose. If he comes back, and God forbid, it's like a Kevin Durant situation. You come back because you really want to help your team, and then either you blow it out again or you do something else, and now suddenly those teams that were saying, next year we're going to offer you this many years at this amount of money are going, at the best we'll give you 1 year and we'll see how it goes, but we're not feeling too strong about you. He's not doing that. I have bad news for you. He's not coming back because he needs to make money on a new deal next year with a team that he wants to be with for multiple years. So there's that. All right, half hour to go in the program, 30 minutes on the clock. When we come back, before we go to the break, I'm telling you, if you've been looking for great Italian food, I mean authentic Italian food, freshest of ingredients, family environment, very, very affordable prices, you have to go to Frankie's Italian Kitchen. They used to have pizza in their name because their pizza is already the best in the Katy, Fulcher, Richmond area. But now they want you to know that it's so much more. I've basically tasted everything on their menu, and everything is made from scratch, tastes like it's made in Italy, and will have you coming back again and again. They just know how to do it. Chris Smith's the owner. He's also one of the chefs. He could make your dinner, and he's going to make it with all the freshest ingredients, Wisconsin cheese, fresh vegetables, the fact that the Italian sausage is made in College Station. They get it all in the local area or as fresh as they can be. They have it shipped in from Wisconsin in the cheese, and then they make their phenomenal meals for you. Everything that you talk about, from lasagna to pizza, even their wings and all the different variations of their wings, are top shelf. It is absolutely the best Italian food in the area that you're going to find is going to keep you coming back again and again. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. They're closed Mondays. Sunday, noon to 8, and you can do dine-in, takeout, and they can even cater your group event. Go to frankiesitaliankitchentx.com for more information. But I'm telling you, there's so many dishes to choose from. And everything tastes authentic and is so darn good. Chicken parm, seafood dishes, beef stroganoff, and like I said, classics like spaghetti, lasagna, and pizza. Check them out today. You're going to go back again and again. They're phenomenal. I love the food there. It's Frankie's Italian Kitchen.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
Back with my man Tyler Scott, rolling through a Tuesday on The Press Box. Some other NBA news coming down. Not sure how you feel about John Collins as a max player, but the Hawks have offered Collins 5 years, $125 million to stay with an Atlanta team that surprised a lot of people this year with Trae Young and company. He was a big piece of that. So they're offering him a big piece of their future, 5 and 125 there. According to others, DeMar DeRozan is joining the Chicago Bulls, so that the young Chicago Bulls seem to be not necessarily in go-for-it mode, but they're putting together a pretty good roster as Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Nikolai Vucevic, Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, Patrick Williams, Kobe White. It's a pretty good young nucleus for a Bulls team right there. So that's something that you can...
On the Collins thing, apparently he has not accepted that. He's holding
out. Right. I can't believe
that. He's holding
that.
Out for more.
Like, if he thinks he's getting more somewhere else, good luck to you. Yeah. But you saw how all the money flew out the window last night. You got to get what you can get while the going
yeah.
is good.
Take it. Take the bag.
Malik Monk, who was not tendered an offer in Charlotte, is going to the Lakers to try and help the Lakers, it looks like, along with Carmelo Anthony, as they are trying to get better. So the NBA money is still flying out. It was a trade with the Bulls. The Spurs get Thaddeus Young, Elfarik Aminu, a first-round pick and 2 second-round picks, and the Bulls get DeMar DeRozan, 3 years and $85 million, as he is now joining Zach LaVine, Lonzo Ball and company in Chicago. Not sure how much that gets them to climb the charts in the East, but that deal is done. Tony Snell signing a one-year deal with the Trailblazers. Not sure that's what Damian Lillard had in mind in terms of improving their team. Zach Collins left the Blazers. The injury-prone young big man is going to the Spurs as well. So San Antonio trying to get young, get better, and do a quick fix as those dollars are flowing around and guys are changing teams pretty quickly here. Marc Gasol said after Spain lost to Team USA this morning, that he's coming back for the final guaranteed year of his Lakers contract. Another ancient NBA player that's going to be on a Lakers roster that includes LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, and then the AARP club of Carmelo Anthony, Dwight Howard, Marc Gasol, Trevor Ariza, Wayne Ellington, and Kent Bazemore to go along with Malik Monk. Is that championship? The big three's good. I don't know if the supporting cast is good enough
yeah.
to top the Nets or maybe other teams in the West. We will see.
In some football news,
yes,
the Vikings have released 2020 first-round pick cornerback Jeff Gladney after he was indicted today by a grand jury in Dallas on a charge of allegedly assaulting a woman in Dallas in April. So,
he go.
Yep.
And that's exactly what... should be done in that case. So we will see what happens on that front as training camps continue across NFL. Now, from a baseball perspective, as it relates to the Texans discussion we were talking about with Deshaun and whether you should be chanting like they were at camp yesterday, we want Deshaun, please stay Deshaun, and then how teams and leagues should handle this. You just said if a guy's facing a charge like that, sometimes you wait to how it all plays out, and other times whether you do your due diligence or you just have no tolerance for it, you just set the player free. The Dodgers, for all their missteps, took all of Trevor Bauer's merchandise out of their team shop, as well they should. The Texans have not. They're still selling Deshaun Watson gear. I got a problem with that. I think that, look, regardless of how you see it, and you, I get the people that are saying, look, he's innocent until proven guilty, but at the same time, he doesn't want to be a part of your franchise. So why am I still selling his gear?
Yeah, well, I mean, granted, the cut from these guys selling jerseys is very minimal, but why even give him that?
Right.
Like, why even let him take that money from you?
Makes
because,
no sense.
And again, on the other side of that, I don't know who would be buying a Deshaun Watson jersey right now.
Someone said, what dummy's buying that stuff? But it's the same dummies that are chanting, please stay, Deshaun, and we want you here in That's Houston, true. Deshaun, at
oh,
training camp.
It's the same people. Oh, all those girls are liars. They're just doing this. This is a money grab. It's those people, those kind of, like, that mindset. That's what, those are the only people who I can imagine are buying his jerseys.
Yeah, and the thing is, even if it wasn't about the 22 cases, he said he doesn't want to be here. That's what I keep going back to. I don't want anybody that doesn't want to be here. And I made the comparison to the analogy like a relationship. Don't chase a chick that says she doesn't want to be with you and beg her back just so she can reap the benefits of what you may be able to offer her, when at the end of the day, it's still the bottom line of she doesn't want to be with you. So don't sell his merchandise. Don't pump him up on everything that you do, from your internet to your and your websites to your social media. And let the process play out, but let him be a quiet, hidden gem that you have to use in the future as a trump card, as opposed to a circus to be looked at every day and going, look who's not playing for us, but he's on the practice field.
Yeah, and we're going to field questions about him, but we're going to give you run around it. Like, I saw the video of Cully giving the answer to whatever question about Deshaun Watson, and I didn't even listen to it because the guy's, like, his body language and just, like, using his hands and all that stuff, I could tell already that he wasn't saying anything worthwhile. So it just made no sense to even attempt to get that answer and play the audio.
No. It's so irrelevant, yet the Texans are fueling the fire because they in the NFL didn't do what should have been done all along, which is, hey, Deshaun, we get it. You want to get paid, but we're also not going to be a guy that has getting a lot of attention and drawing attention away from a team that hasn't played a game yet this year. And though expectations are low, it should be about the guys suiting up every day and participating in training camp fully, not you just going through the motions to collect a check. And that's what I fault the Texans for. He said he didn't want to be here prior. He still doesn't want to be here now. There's too much to lose and nothing to gain. Send him home. Pay him if you have. At that point, it doesn't matter. Just send him home. You're making enough money. But he's got to go. We were talking about the Astros, Tyler. So in the last segment, I want to get to this. Astros hater and USA Today columnist Bob Nightingale talked to Mookie Betts getting ready for the series tonight. Interesting little quote from the Mookster. Get your thoughts on that before we get out of here. If you missed it, the Blitz today is going to be old friendly faces in Jermaine Every and Craig Koshkin.
Yes, and just to correct you.
What?
It's no longer the Blitz. The Blitz ended on Friday. Are
you that guy?
Well, I mean,
until there's a new show with a new title in that time slot, I still consider it the Blitz.
I mean, yeah, but it's the show formerly known as the Blitz. It doesn't say the Blitz on their imaging. It says Fred and Friends. So,
what are we then, Tyler?
You're the press box, Joel.
It's just me, but I am the press box.
But you're the press box.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It still says press box on your stuff.
Okay. JC and the Sunshine Band coming up next from 4 to 7. Until then, we've got one segment to go in my show, The Press Box, ESPN.
Who's this? Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
Ahead of JC and the Sunshine Band, it is the one-man band, as Tyler has deemed me, The Press Box. But he is here along for the ride. as we take you till 4, and then he's still got a whole lot of road to hoe as he goes till 9 o'clock tonight, because soccer matters after JC and the Sunshine Band. That's Jermaine and Koshkin. Craig, got it? Good. Here's what I was talking about. Bob Nightingale, not a big Astros fan. He's one of those guys that I always target when I say the national media, who still has the red ass for the Astros, ahead of Joel Osteen. I mean, Jeff Passan. But Bob Nightingale caught up with Mookie Betts in preparation for tonight's start of the two-game series between the Astros and the Dodgers. And Betts said, "I'm sure there's going to be some fights and stuff in the stands. It was such a long time ago. The emotions the fans feel, what the other guys feel, I don't have any of that. But I assume there's guys in here that still feel a certain way. I'm ready for war." Look, Mookster, you're a cheater too. And you got rung up with that Red Sox crew. So before you guys go throwing your stones in your glass houses, look in the mirror, Chief, because this means you did it too. That's the other thing of why this whole thing with the Dodger fans is so tired. I get it. You're going to keep saying you shoulda, woulda, coulda won. You didn't win on your home field when you had a chance. The other thing is all the hatred. How many guys are left from that team? Seriously, legitimately, pitchers and position players. What are we at, Tyler? Five? Correa, Altuve. Bregman. And he's not even there tonight, but he's on the roster, essentially. So those three, Correa, Altuve, Bregman. Those three. Is there anybody else? Springer's gone.
Brockmane, their bullpen catcher.
Okay, you're going to count that. McCullers.
McCullers
was there. There's four. Verlander's not with the team. So he was there, but he's not really there. So I got four on the roster or going to be on the roster at some point. Four. McCann and Evan Gattis were catchers, so Machete was out. I don't think that I'm missing anybody.
Yuli wasn't up.
Yuli was there. There's five. Five total players. And this is going to still be the big story. This is Bob Nightingale's lead with USA Today.
I mean, even Joe Kelly was on that 2018 Red Sox team. And I think part of the reason that he only did the whole thing throwing at Correa and the little pouty lip thing is just to take the heat off himself for ever being on that team.
It's a very good point. It's the point to be made, which is, that, you know, again, when you're pointing fingers everywhere else, Joe Kelly, people don't forget you were on that Red Sox team before you joined the Dodgers, too. So, five for the Astros, two cheaters minimum on the Dodgers that have Red Sox ties. So, while we're keeping score, score that. And thank God, I'm going to keep harping on this, too. The guy who was blowing the horn the loudest in the Dodger clubhouse right from the get-go was Bellinger. And right now, Cody, you suck. And since you've been blowing your horn, and after the World Series, this whole year you've sucked. So shut your trap and hit the ball. Should be a good two-game series. It's not a barometer or a deal-changer either way, because they're in different leagues. And they're at different stages of their season. Dodgers are trying to get healthy while they acclimate a couple of players. Trey Turner's not going to play. He's still dealing with COVID. They're hoping to have him back by Friday, so he'll miss this series. But we'll see Scherzer tomorrow night, their big acquisition at the deadline. Astros still without Bregman, although he says he's close. He expects to be back when the team comes back from this road trip some point during the homestand. That's good news. But again, it's not life or death, depending on who wins this two-game series. And I'm not losing any sleep if they get swept. And I'm not going to celebrate a World Series if they win two straight. It's just another game on the road. And we said going into the 8-game road swing, if they could somehow break even at 4-4, consider it a win. Anything better than 4-4 is a big win. And if they lose and end up 3-5 because they've already won three games, I'm not losing any sleep over it. The main thing is they have the best record in the American League. They still have a substantial lead over the A's in the division. And that's where your team should be at this point in the season if you have World Series aspirations, as they do. And so you roll from there. I'm good with it. That's where I'm at. Anybody else have anything else on that one before we go? Oh, by the way, Gerrit Cole tested positive. Did you see that?
I did see that, yeah.
So he missed his start. They got walloped by the Orioles last night. He had the vaccine. He had been vaccinated. So he's another one of those cases as we talk across sports. Whether you're vaccinated or not, you can still get it, and it can still be a factor. And it is now, right now, for Gerrit Cole. They're hoping that it was a false positive as he's going to continue to test.
I did see something that said there's another Yankee that it wasn't a Yankee that tested positive. So, I mean, there's still several people around the league. Obviously, people are still getting it, testing positive for it. Trey Turner still kind of dealing with it as well. And this would, that happened almost a week ago whenever he tested positive.
Mm-hmm.
So,
All right. It's 5-3 scoreboard now because we forgot about David Price. So three Red Sox are on that Dodgers team. And David Price right now is part of their rotation. He was forgotten about when they signed Bauer. But he's been a guy with Kershaw on the IL as well that stepped up into the rotation. He's actually pitched fairly well. But David Price, Mookie Betts, and Yahoo Joe Kelly. So it's 5-3 cheaters if you're keeping score. And I may be missing some from a Dodgers perspective. So, again, it shouldn't be the story. It should be the two really good teams that are two of the best teams in baseball playing against each other. But it's not. And we know it's not going to be. And from a national media perspective, they're not going to allow it to be. It is what it is. So that's your big news to watch tonight. USA basketball beat Spain. Kevin Durant had 29. Ricky Rubio had 38. I don't know how that happened. But I believe they're on to the semifinals, Team USA. As it's France, it's Luka's squad, it's the United States, and it's Australia. I think that's your final four for the gold medal. There was a lot of good Olympics last night. I don't know if you caught it or not.
But I did not, no. I haven't really been watching it as much. Some events kind of catch my eye, but other than that, like, I'm not going to go out of my way to...
Please tell me the women's 200-meter hurdles caught your eye.
I did not see that. Didn't they run that in the rain?
Yeah. Yeah, and Sydney looked great doing it, too. There's Sydney McLaughlin? Yikes.
There's an Aggie. I want to say she's like the decathlete, heptathlete, whatever. Annie Kuntz or something now. Like that. Yeah.
Easy.
But maybe worth your time.
Yeah. There's a couple that are worth your time if you look at that kind of thing, which we obviously do. Other than that, Simone Biles did participate in the balance beam, took third, got a bronze, now ties her for the most medals ever won as a U.S. female gymnast. She's still the GOAT, regardless of what happened in this Olympics. You can't take that away from her. And you look at all the different accomplishments from the World Championships to the Olympics. It's a very unfortunate situation the way it went down in the Olympics, but she is tied for the most decorated in an Olympics, but overall as a gymnast, she still goes down as the greatest, and you just hope that she's also dealing now, I guess, with the death of her aunt that's happened since she got to Tokyo that wasn't publicized before. So there's all of that as her Olympic career now looks to be over. Everybody starts, I guess, I didn't realize this, but like Caleb Dressel and his 5 gold medals, he's already back in the States. Evidently, Tokyo has also said the minute your events are over, you can't have the free-for-all of sex fest in the Olympic Village. You have to go back home.
I mean, apparently some athletes got in trouble for drinking alcohol as well the other night, which, okay, whatever, but... Listening to, I can't remember who it was on Freddie and Fitz last night, mm-hmm. but she was saying that Michelle Steele. Mm. She's over there covering the mm-hmm. Olympics, mm-hmm. and she was saying that if you're a writer or covering it, doing whatever, like you're basically just sitting in your hotel room the entire time, so unless you're actually at an event covering it.
So Channel 2. Lisa Station sent Christine Noel, Roseanne Aragon, and
some other guy.
And Keith.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting Keith's last name. They had to quarantine for, I believe, the first 10 days.
Oof.
And then they were out there publicizing the fact that they have finally been set free. They can sightsee. They can ride the train. They can go to cities. They can cover events and other stories in Tokyo. So I believe you had to quarantine for like 10 days. Keith Garvin. And then you can go out, and so now they're out and about. So I think that's the rules in terms of media. The other thing is, did you see Conan O'Brien win a gold last night?
No.
Tyler, if you missed this, you have to see it. The 400-meter hurdles last night, the men's, this dude that looks like Conan O'Brien for Norway blew the doors off of everyone in the 400 hurdles. The kid from the United States ran his best ever for the silver, and they said no one breaks 46. This dude with literally Conan O'Brien's face and hair not only won it, but when he won it, he ripped, like Superman, he ripped his jersey apart to go full-chested on you to set a world record. I was impressed. I was like, I didn't give that dude any bit. I didn't give him any chance before that race started. I don't care what his rating was coming in. And dude set a world record and broke 46 seconds in the 400 hurdles. It was fairly impressive.
I mean, that sounds impressive.
Yeah, it was. If you have a chance to go back and look at it. Karsten Warholm of Norway. Conan O'Brien in my book. But he's Conan O'Brien that can really put the feet down. So that'll do it for us. JC and the Sunshine Band coming up next because Tyler said I can't still call it the Blitz. We'll be back again tomorrow with Pat Creighton in tow as we get you into your Wednesday on another edition of the Press Box because he said I can call it that. So you guys have a great night and enjoy Jermaine and Mr. Koshkin coming up next on ESPN. M-S-T-I-S, just like Pretty Todd, I'm T-Boy Fresh. Got oil coming in and it's straight from the west. And the grill for a miss on a Cadillac Chris. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Warrior sound! Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports. We run